Christ and Ministry, Jesus' Teachings 2. This article is the fourth in an 8-part series on Jesus Christ. He continues to explain the law in more detail. You shall not commit adultery. God defines adultery as a sin, period. That is God's law. Yet our society and perhaps those Jesus spoke to were often guilty. The actual act of adultery is what we usually consider a sin. However, Jesus broadens the definition to include our looks and thoughts, including single and married individuals. John Calvin, Martin Luther, John Wesley, Matthew Henry, and many contemporary spiritual leaders agree that Jesus addressed all sexual immorality in the following verse. In Jesus' statement, lusting after a woman, he included both adultery and fornication, sexual relations between persons not married to each other. Jesus says in Matthew 5:27-28, you have heard that it was said of those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Of course, ladies, you know that the scripture speaks to you also. Men are not the only ones guilty of sexual sin in their hearts. In our society, with so much nudity, immorality, and immoral conversation, and lack of training about right and wrong, we see a growing problem. The teaching of Jesus tells us that to be unfaithful to your husband or wife can be in your mind. It is a sin when you give a part of yourself that belongs to another. Maybe it is time, respect, or just your thoughts that are involved. The Holy Spirit tells you when you're doing wrong. Paul wrote in Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Sadly, much of our sexual sin is due to a corrupt idea of marriage. Marriage is sacred and eternally binding. Jesus speaks very plainly when he talks about sin and marriage. Marriage is presently a shameful disgrace in our country and in our churches. Men and women consider marriage only an option in sexual relations, certainly not a requirement. As a result, many people now live together and give little credit to marriage. Some may even consider marriage a trial arrangement to see if they are compatible. Even within the church, the sanctity of marriage is rarely preached or taught. Likewise, pastors do not teach or preach on sexual immorality because they do not want to point out such a common sin among us. Individuals who are guilty of adultery or other sexual sins must be told and held accountable. In Genesis 2:24, God tells us, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. God intended marriage as a sacred union between a man, a woman, and God. It is God that made them into one flesh. God has not changed through the ages. He is still the one who puts a man and a woman together and makes them one flesh. We might also notice that Jesus' first miracle was at a wedding feast. When we become one flesh, there is no separating us. In Matthew 19:6, Jesus says, so then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. In reality, what God has joined, man cannot separate. Marriage is binding on both parties. Jesus says this about divorce in Matthew 5:32. But I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. God does not change. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God does not change. We need to avoid the sin of adultery in our lives and teach others not to allow themselves to be drawn into adulterous relationships. Jesus took the teaching, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, in Matthew 5:43, and made it clear that God required more of us. He gave us the idea that we are to love our enemies. Jesus' teaching to love our enemies was revolutionary to those listening to him, and is radical thinking in our world today. However, Jesus did not stop there. He made it even more difficult in the following verse, verse 44. Jesus says, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Why do this? You're to do it for this reason. It's found in Matthew 5:45, so that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Loving your enemies sets you apart from the world. Most people love those who love them, but do they love the ones who hate them? God did just that for us and sent his son to die for us while we were still his enemies. In the following few verses, he points out how the world loves and that we should not be like the world. Everyone loves those who love them. So what is unique about that? Loving someone who cares nothing for you is God-like and makes us more like our Father in heaven. Matthew 5:48 says, therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. I want to point out again to you, as you study the ministry of Jesus with me, you should read each chapter several times. It keeps it fresh in your mind what Jesus has said compared to what the world says. Jesus teaches us to do good. The teachings of Jesus explain how important it is to do good and charitable acts to honor God and not ourselves. But unfortunately, people of the day, of this day, often do good works and good deeds just to be seen by others. Our pride gets in the way of doing what is right. We're to do good to others to help them see the goodness of God. We should not seek glory for ourselves. Our reward comes from knowing that we're doing God's will and seeing the changes he makes in other people's lives. Jesus instructs us on how we are to do good in Matthew 6:3-4. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. When possible, you want to help without drawing attention to yourself. At the same time, you want the receiver to know that the help is a gift from God, not you. Crediting God should always be done. Sometimes your giving can help people draw closer to God. Jesus deals with another subject that we don't talk about much today. Fasting was a common practice in Bible times, but we rarely speak of it in our society. However, it is easy to get a big following by discussing food on the internet. Today, the weight loss industry promotes fasting as a tool for losing weight. There may even be some health benefits in fasting, but that is not the biblical reason to fast. When you fast, it should be between you and God. You're saying to God and to yourself that you're serious and want to be closer to Him. You're asking Him to listen to your prayer and saying, God, I'm serious. I need your help. When you fast and pray, you have greater clarity and can focus your prayers. This focus will help you into a closer relationship with God. However, as Jesus points out in the following verses, people sometimes do it to draw attention. We should not try to make people notice us or to have them think how holy we are. Instead, we should do all things with our goal to draw closer to God. Matthew 6:16 says, Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Jesus goes on to teach here in Matthew about wealth. Men have not changed through the ages. Just as God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, men's sinfulness is also ongoing. We're still focused on the material things more than the spiritual. One of the wealthiest men in America was asked by a reporter, How much money would make you rich enough? His reply was, Just a little bit more. The teachings of Jesus point out one of the problems with wealth. It will not last into eternity, and we spend a lot of time and energy worrying about keeping earthly belongings safe. In Matthew 6:19-20, Jesus says to the crowd, Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Why did Jesus say this? Jesus says in Matthew 6:21, Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He also tells us in Matthew 6:24, No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. The choice is yours. Money is not evil. The love of money and the things it will buy is evil. When you focus all your efforts on gaining money or possessions, you cannot focus on the more essential things in life. You find that you are always thinking about what you have or what you want, and you have little time for serving God. God made it clear that he would never allow himself to be in second place. You must put him first. In conclusion, this ends our session for today. I hope that you have grown in knowledge and understanding of what Jesus is teaching. I thank you for being with me today and hope that you will join us in our next lesson.